For sure. Socrates poisoned again after 25 centuries. Responses to questions from disciples and press correspondents given in Crete, Greece. Discourse number 22.
I have to ask you this esoteric question. How can you say with such certainty that this earth is the only place in the universe where life is and consciousness is arisen? How do you know?
It is not an esoteric question. It belongs to the inner science of man. The moment one becomes enlightened, he is no more confined in his own body. His vision is as big as the whole universe. So then I said that this earth is only where life has blossomed, where not only life but consciousness has arisen, not only that but there have been few people who have reached to the ultimate expression of consciousness. To me, that is godliness. I can say it with authority because it is my own vision. But few things have to be added to it. There are almost 50,000 planets in the whole universe. Where life has reached to the point of animal stage. Some planets where life has reached only to vegetarian stage. But there is no planet other than Earth where exists something similar to man. Not only alive, animals are alive, but man is conscious of his life. To become conscious of one's consciousness is the highest stage. And that is not far away. You are aware of your life. You can be aware of your awareness. Self-awareness will reveal you the mystery of existence. You have not to accept it and my world. If you accept it, it becomes esoteric for you. To me, it is an actual experience. And there are many experiences which I am not telling to you for the simple reason that they will look esoteric because you cannot conceive them. To me, they are realities. But to you, they have to become realities. I mention this point especially because I am immensely concerned that life on the earth is not destroyed. It is existence most ambitious flight. You are not alive. Existence is alive in you. And you are not conscious. Existence has become conscious in you. And the moment you become conscious of consciousness, existence achieves its fulfillment. You are so blessed in that moment that you can bless the whole universe. That is the meaning of the word Bhagwan. It does not mean God. It simply means the Blessed One. One who is blessed and is capable now to share his blessing with anybody who is ready to receive it. There is nothing esoteric in it. But it belongs to the science of the inner journey. It is not part of the objective science. So to those who are addicted with the objective science, it may look esoteric. But to those who are not addicted to the objective and remember that the object cannot exist alone without your subjectivity. Your subject, your consciousness is the polarity. And it is a shame that logical scientists go on denying that there is anything inner in man. They accept the outer and they deny the inner. They accept the things in their house and they deny themselves. It is simply ludicrous. But it cannot go on for long. More and more intelligent people are searching inwards because the out search has led to death. to ultimate death. The inner search will lead you to deeper layers of life and finally to the eternal life, in the same way as the outer search has led you to death. Because objects are dead. Studying dead objects and denying the living subject who is studying them. Do you think one object can study another object? That is impossible. One stone can observe another stone, can do research about the other stone. To inquire into objective world, you need an inner consciousness, a subjectivity. That subjectivity is your consciousness. And if objective science has come to nuclear weapons, ready to destroy the whole life on the earth and turn it into pure objectivity without any subject, just the opposite happens when you reach to your innermost being. Everything becomes alive, conscious. The whole existence becomes a dancing, singing, rejoicing universe. And your vision has no limits. You can see things which are not possible with objective eyes. I had to state this just to emphasize the fact that to destroy life on the earth is going to be the greatest loss to existence. Because nowhere else it has evolved to the point where a Zorba can become a Buddha. Nowhere else it has blossomed into the ultimate potential, transforming it into an actuality. This small earth, Galileo proved, moves around the sun. It may be a factual thing, but I say unto you that the whole universe, not only the sun, but the millions of other suns which you see as stars in the night, and millions of solar systems, all are really moving around the earth. Not factually, but in a symbolic sense. Because this is the only sacred place where life exists, where consciousness exists, and where few people have been capable of achieving the ultimate expression of being, the enlightenment.
Thank you. because sometimes I can't believe my laughter, if it's true, but I always believe in my tears. Please comment.
Everybody does it. Mankind has been accustomed to misery. Misery is taken for granted. It is thought to be nature. Not to be miserable is dangerous in this vast crowd of miserable people. Simply because they cannot believe that someone is not miserable. Something must be wrong with him. And the society has penetrated deep in your mind. It is not only the others will not believe your laughter, you yourself. Your mind is part of the society. It has created it. Your parents, teachers, priests, they all have created your mind. A mind is something implanted in you by the society. It belongs to the society, not to you. It is society suspecting your laughter, making you afraid perhaps you have gone insane. Because there is no reason to laugh. It is a very strange situation. When you are healthy, you don't think that there has to be a reason to be healthy. You don't rush to a doctor in panic that, "Save me, doctor, I am healthy. Do something immediately. Something has gone wrong. I am no more sick." Nobody asks why I am healthy. But if you are sick, you ask why I am sick. You go to the expert to inquire about your sickness and how to cure it. The same should be the situation about your inner world. Sadness is sickness, and you accept it. And laughter is health, and you are afraid to accept it. You are suspicious of it. That suspicion is not yours. That suspicion belongs to your mother, to your father, to your teachers, to your priest, the church, and the so-called all kinds of leaders. If a child is not burdened with all this conditioning, when he is laughing, he will accept it naturally. When he is sad, he will inquire why he is sad. He will go to the psychiatrist to inquire what is the cause of his sadness. Why he is so serious? Why he cannot laugh? why he cannot sing and dance. And a person who cannot laugh, cannot sing, cannot dance, do you think he will be able to love? It is impossible. His love will be a sad affair, full of tears, without any joy. People are finding lovers so that they don't feel lonely. Loneliness hurts, but they are not aware that the other person is also lonely, and two lonelinesses together make the problem multiplied. It does not dissolve the problem. You were lonely, now another person is lonely. You were sad, now another person is sad. Now both will be carrying the sadnesses of each other. Sicknesses, seriousness, moods of despair and anguish. Now they are double. Before a person falls in love, he should have a right understanding about his own state. That is he capable of loving? He cannot laugh. He cannot sing. He cannot enjoy music. He cannot enjoy anything. How he is going to enjoy love? The priests of all the religions have poisoned everything. They have poisoned your love. They have poisoned your laughter. They have poisoned your capacity to rejoice, to dance, to sing. Just look at your churches. The moment you enter a church, you become serious. Just watch it. The moment you enter inside a church, the climate inside you changes. You become serious. You become Christian, which is simply a disease. Just like Hinduism, Buddhism, different names of diseases. Can you make love in a church? Jesus Christ hanging on the cross, looking at you. It will be a very strange scene. You cannot even laugh. Have you seen any statue of Jesus smiling? laughing, dancing. No, all that you know is the crucified Jesus. My own understanding is that Christianity has become the biggest religion of the world because it is a sick religion, the most sick than any other religion. And the cross and the serious Jesus and naturally on the cross one has to be serious. It will look really odd if he starts laughing on the cross. He has to follow etiquette. His seriousness, his death, his cross has been helpful millions of miserable people to join his company. He seems to be the right person. And he has told you to carry your crosses on your own shoulders. And you are carrying. Not wooden crosses, but far more deeper psychological crosses of sadness, misery, anguish, anxiety, meaninglessness, these are your crosses. His cross was not that big. And it was something outside him. You are carrying your crosses within your heart. There seems to be some kind of affinity between you and Jesus Christ. The writer of Zorba, the Greek Kazantzakis, was expelled by the Greek Orthodox Church because he created Zorba. A man full of joy, full of love, a man full of music, carrying no cross at all. Even a fiction, and one of the best that this century has created, and the great artist Kazantzakis was expelled from the church because he has done something immensely unchristian. Church does not want you to be happy. The society does not want you to be happy. The psychoanalyst does not want you to be happy. Nobody seems to be interested in your happiness. Everybody wants you to be miserable. there must be some vested interest in your misery. There are. The miserable man is easily enslaved. He is already broken. He has no guts left. He cannot fight, he cannot rebel, he cannot be a revolutionary. He has no hope. It does not matter to him. He is in such misery. What more misery can slavery be? India remained for 2,000 years in slavery without a single revolution, worth calling revolution. They call few things. 1942, Mahatma Gandhi called his movement revolution. It is simply untrue. The whole revolution died within 9 days. And a country of 400 million people, how many people participated in the revolution? And why it died out in 9 days? These are not revolutions. Little efforts towards revolution which died before they were born. But India was not ready for any revolution, hence the masses remained aloof. For them it mattered nothing. They were under the kingdom of Hindu kings before Mohammedans came. They were miserable. Mohammedans became emperors, they were miserable. Britishers came, they remained miserable. Their misery does not change. Why they should bother who is ruling them? Their hearts are so deeply sad, you cannot make them sadder. All governments want people to remain miserable. And all priests want people to remain miserable. Because only miserable go to the priests for consolation. Only miserable think of paradise. Only miserable want to be assured that blessed are the poor, blessed are the humble. Because they shall inherit the kingdom of God. For thousands of years, if misery has been imposed upon you, you are born into it. It is part of your blood and bones. That is the reason why when you feel laughing, you look awkward to yourself, embarrassed before yourself. But tears are perfectly okay, because for thousands of years man has been full of tears. His whole life is nothing but tears. My people are condemned all around the earth. I am condemned. For the simple reason, because I am telling you, throw the crosses off your shoulders. If you are too much attached to carry something, carry a guitar. But this cross is not something to be carried. I have been teaching my people to be happy, rejoicing, loving, because those are natural things which have been repressed. But strange people have the majority under them. I have told my people that drop all old conceptions. For example, you have been told for centuries that love is unspiritual. Love to God is perfectly okay. That is spiritual. Because there is no God. So you can go on praying and being very loving to God, which does not exist. But love to a woman or a man is dangerous, because the woman is real. The man is real. They have tried to divert your love to a non-existential thing, so you cannot love those who are real. And they have made it clear to you that these two loves are opposite to each other. Either you can love a woman or you can love God. It's strange. I don't think why there should be such a competition between God and a woman. Is God a woman? So jealous? Why a man has to renounce life and its joys to attain the same pleasures in heaven? What kind of logic is this? Here everything is sin, and the same things in heaven become rewards. To the same saints who were told not even to look at a woman. In India, there was a Saint Surdas who took his eyes out. His name Surdas has become equivalent to blind man, because to call a blind man looks a little inhuman. So in India, a blind man is called Surdas. The name of a great saint. It simply means a blind man, but looks more sophisticated. and does not hurt the blind man. Sudas took out his eyes because he was afraid that if eyes are there and women are all around, and there are things which are beyond your control. Sometimes you see a face and you like it. You love it. And it happens in such a split second that you cannot remember in that second that you are a religious man, you have renounced the world. It is better get rid of the eyes so you will not see who is man, who is woman, who is beautiful. And this is not an exception. In Soviet Union before the revolution, there were thousands of men and women, a very fanatic Christian cult which demanded that you cut your genitals, and people were cutting their genitals to assure the church absolutely about their chastity, celibacy. The poor woman was again at a loss what to cut. The man was going far higher in his spiritual growth. Then finally they started cutting their breasts. And there were thousands of women who had cut their breasts, and they were thought to be very religious. And men who had cut their genitals were thought to be saints, just because they had castrated themselves. They were saints. All these religions have been poisoning your naturality. My effort is to throw any unnatural conditioning off you. And introduce you back to your innocence, to your nature. Just the other day, my secretary Ananda reported to me that there are reports in the newspapers that there are going sexual orgies here. I said, but I'm here. And you don't invite me either. Great things are happening. And I am present, and I have to come to know about great things through newspapers. This is not right. He said, but no RVs are happening. These are all false reports. But I looked into the report and I found what was the reason. It must have come from the hotels and places where my people are staying. No orgies are happening anywhere. But this is part of my teaching, that whatever you do, do totally. So when my people are making love, they really love. They groan, they moan, they scream, they dance, they sing. And you know the hotel walls are not very thick walls. All the neighbors are keeping their ear. What is happening? It must be an orgy. Two persons making so much is not possible. Because they also make love. But they make love according to the tradition. The woman should not move. And to prevent her movement, man is on top of the woman. Now this is beast over the beauty. He is muscular, he is bigger. And the poor, delicate woman is simply crushed under him. What kind of love? And he is in a hurry to finish it soon. Because it is a sin. Sooner finish the better. You should not rejoice in it. You should not prolong it. And your neighbor should not know. So the woman remains quiet. Silent. Almost a cart. That is the definition of lady. A lady is not a woman. A lady is a dead woman. A lady simply means a good lay. She simply lies down and remains with closed eyes. And do you know why women close eyes when you make love? Just to avoid seeing you. You are doing such a nasty thing to them. They don't want to see. They don't want the light on. And the men is finished within seconds, because only he is making movements. Neither the man attains orgasm, nor the woman attains orgasm. Orgasm needs a little more articulateness, a little more skill. Ardhas needs first a long foreplay. Unless sex is accepted as natural, it is not possible. A foreplay with incense burning, a music record going on, irony papa singing, and before you start making love, love should not be immediate thing. You should dance, you should sing, you should prepare your bodies to rejoice, you should prepare your bodies for the thrill, and waiting is a thrill. And you should make love only when it happens naturally, listening to music, dancing, the beautiful fragrance of incense, flowers. Your love chamber should be a temple. I cannot use the word church, it is too ugly. That's why I am using the word temple. And when your energies are flowing, moving, enjoying, and your whole bodies are ready, not just your mind which want to make love. And the woman certainly needs her whole body to be ready, because her whole body is orgasmic. Man's sexuality is local, genital. Woman's sexuality is all over her body. So by dancing and singing, her whole body will be throbbing, will be getting ready, will be getting warmer. The lady will be disappearing and the woman will be coming back. And of course, the lady should be on top, never the man on the top. That is inhuman. And that is purely according to sexual science, that man should be under the woman, because then he cannot move much. And if he cannot move much, then his ejaculation will not be within 3 seconds. It will take time. And let the woman move. And when you are in joy, you shout, you scream, you moan, you groan, and don't care about the neighbor. Then only it is possible for both to come to an orgasm. An orgasm is a gift of nature that leads you to religiousness. Because through orgasm you come to know a unity with existence for a moment. You disappear. Time stops. Mind functions no more. All is silent and all is beautiful. But it is only for moments. But once you have tasted it, you would like it to remain with you 24 hours. The first man who must have discovered meditation, I am absolutely certain that the discovery was made through orgasm, because there is no other way to discover meditation. Because in orgasm all those basic elements are present which make meditation, and some adventurers, inquirers must have thought that why I am feeling so euphoric, so ecstatic, and he must have noted these three points: I disappear, a certain emptiness remains, a certain isness remains, but there is no I. Time disappears. There is no past, no future. Just the moment, the present. And mind disappears, no thought. Anybody with a little intelligence could have figured it out. If these three things can be managed without making love, then the same experience will happen. This is the origin of meditation. Nobody knows how many thousand years before some unknown explorer, the greatest explorer in the world, found it out. But it worked. Because with love, you are always dependent on the other person. And two persons, there is a certain kind of dependence on each other. Meditation manages to make you egoless, to bring you to the present moment, and to stop the thought process. And you have a far bigger orgasm without any sex involved in it. And once you have the key in your hands, you can remain 24 hours in your inner being in the same bliss, in the same benediction. So my teachings look to people very contradictory. They are not. I teach you to make love as totally as possible so that you can transcend it, so that you can find by yourself What is making love such a joyful event? But it is only for moments. Those three ingredients which constitute orgasm, you can try separately. And that's how I have managed meditation. Those three ingredients you can attain. And once you can have an orgasmic experience alone, you are free from women, you are free from men. You are directly in contact with existence. There is no mediator. Only such a person can go beyond sex. Going beyond sex does not mean that sex was sin. In fact, sex was the cause of all the spirituality that arose out of it. So even the man who has gone beyond sex once in a while can have just for fun, enjoy sex. Sex is not against spirituality. And when you have experienced orgasm in sex, don't forget the afterplay. Just as there is foreplay which brings you to a thrilling readiness, after orgasm, if you turn your side and you say, now I am feeling sleepy, this is insulting. You don't understand the woman. Your sex is only genital. Once you have ejaculated, you start feeling sleepy because you have lost energy. You have become dull. Sleep will rejuvenate you. So the natural cycle seems to be falling into sleep, but the woman's whole body was involved. She is still throbbing. Modern sexuology has come to understand that a woman is capable of multiple orgasms, one after another, at least 6 orgasms. And you have given her only 1 orgasm, and she is ready still for 5 orgasms. And this is an ordinary situation. The husband goes to sleep and the wife cries and weeps. If the husband is more considerate, and he should be more considerate to a woman who has given her such a beautiful experience, he should be considerate. After play, a little more music, a little more song, a little more playfulness, or just lying down together. she will cool down. She will again become a lady. Unless she becomes a lady, you are not supposed to go to sleep. When she becomes a lady, you can say goodbye. No, go to sleep. So I know from where those reports are coming. My people are staying in Houghton, and they must be making a racket. And I don't want you to prevent your racket. It is your private affair. It is your private room. You are paying for it. Now, what you do in the room is your business. It is not the business of the bishop. Basically, my insistence is on totality. Whatever you do, be total in it. Be natural in it. And soon you will discover that laughter, joy, are natural. Sometimes you may like just to dance for no reason, just because you are too full of energy. And the energy wants to dance. Then don't prevent it, don't repress it. Because every energy repressed becomes poisonous. Express it. And don't be worried about the world. One thing take for granted. Since you have been with me, the world knows you are crazy. Now, there is no problem. They know you are crazy. You need not be worried about them. You be crazily in love with life, nature, so that you can transcend both life, nature. And there is a transcendence waiting for you. But it is only for those who live totally. Then tears may also come, but they will not be of sadness. They will be of joy. They will be of gratitude. They will be of sheer blissfulness. Tears are a language of anything overflowing. If you are so full of sadness, then your tears are of sadness. If you are so full of joy, the tears will be of joy. I am not saying prevent the tears. They have their own duty. But they should be of joy, there should be of love. This should come out of your silence, out of your peace, out of your heart, in tremendous gratitude that existence has given you life, has given you consciousness. And has given you a crazy friend like me. Patience has been exploited by people. There is poverty for centuries, and they have been told just to be patient. It is a test of your trust in God. They have been told just to be patient. It is only a question of few years, and then you will be entering into paradise. Patience has been used as part of exploitation of people in every field. But patience itself is a beautiful quality. You should not allow your patience to be exploited. But to be patient to me means trust. Trust in nature, trust in existence, trust in yourself. Things are going to be better every day. Whatever happens, your patience finds in it something better for you. It is a very great alchemy. It changes suffering into blessing. It is a great instrument in your hand. Just you have to understand that the instrument has to be used by you, not by others on you. There are continuous changes in life. Life is a flux. Heraclitus says you cannot step twice in the same river. And I say to you, you cannot step even once in the same river. The river is continuously moving. There are ups, there are downs, there are days and there are nights. Patience consists in seeing things in a way that everything becomes a joy to you. For example, you can see that every day is being sandwiched between two dark nights. That will give you good misery and sadness. But what a life it is. Just a small day and two big dark nights. A man of understanding will see that every night is so small between two beautiful sunny days. Life is the same. Your outlook changes. There are people who will not look at the rose flowers. They will look at the thorns. And they will be in deep despair that existence cannot even produce roses without thorns. But they are paying more attention on thorns than on roses. A man of understanding will love the rose and will take the thorn as a protection for the rose. It is a protection. The same rose bush is supplying juice to both, to the rose and to the thorn. The thorn must have some natural function. Its function is to protect the rose. It is a soldier. A guard. Once you see life just from a different angle, and your heart, it starts throbbing in a different way. Everything can be looked with negative eyes, and there are people who will think about everything with negative eyes. They may become good critics, but they will be utter failures in life. There is a way to say life with positive eyes. I was visiting a palace in Jaipur in India. Jaipur is one of the most beautiful cities in the world. The man who was creating it, Maharaja Jai Singh, wanted to defeat Paris, but he died before he could complete the project. So Jaipur has remained incomplete, but it has tremendous beauty. No city in India has that quality. I was visiting his palace. His grandson who is now in the place of the grandfather said to me, please don't take note. If you see something incomplete in the palace, I said, what is the matter? He said, my grandfather had a certain idea that nothing should be made complete, because then it has a certain kind of deadness. Something should remain incomplete. Possibilities for growth. And by coincidence, he could not complete Jaipur. He died and this was his whole life's philosophy. He has never made anything complete. Something will be missing in it. And the people who come with negative eyes, they immediately see the missing thing. The whole palace is so beautiful, but their whole concern became concentrated on a small stone that is missing. And they come frustrated. Perhaps Maharaja Jai Singh had some understanding of life. In life, nothing is perfect. Everything has some imperfection. Imperfection means life is still growing. Evolution is still happening. And the day everything is complete will be the worst day in existence, because that day everything will become dead. There will be no growth, no need for evolution. Everything will be stuck. Don't see to the imperfections. free to so much beauty that surrounds small imperfections. It is a change of perspective that brings patience to you. Then you know that everything is good. And everything is going to be better because it has been going on for centuries, becoming better and better. There is no need to be worried about tomorrow. Tomorrow is going to be better. The whole existence is involved in bettering itself. You have to be just a little patient. You should not be in a hurry. You should not ask that everything should be given to you right now. Everything comes in its own time. Everything comes when you are right. Everything comes when you deserve it. This is my experience. In the last 30 years, I have not felt even for a single moment any impatience. And I have seen that everything goes on becoming better. Existence itself is involved. We are part of it. There is no need to worry. Even something looks dark today may prove just the beginning of a new dawn. Before the dawn, the night is the darkest. Just watch life, try to understand life, and patience will come to you on its own accord. I was in jail in America. In the first jail, the sheriff of the jail asked me that perhaps you would have never thought that you will be in a jail. I said, I keep my future open. I can be anywhere. Even in hell, I will not be disturbed. He took me to my cell. He said it is unjust. You have been arrested without any warrant, without even giving you any cause. You have not been allowed to inform your attorneys. This is simply unjust. In my whole life, I have never seen something like this happening. I said, this is a good experience for you. Things like this can happen. To me, it makes no difference. Whether the arrest warrant was there or not, I would have been here anyway. And these days, I will be in the jail, are going to give me a new experience and a new perspective of life, which I would have missed. He said, "You seem to be a little strange type." And I said, "I am. This is only the beginning. We will come to know each other more. And just within 2 days, he became so friendly to me that he was worried that soon I will be freed. And we will miss you forever." Because in those 2 days, thousands of telegrams and telephones and telexes and flowers from all over the world. And he said, "I have never seen such a thing. In my jail there has been cabinet ministers, secretaries, great politicians. Nobody cares. You seem to be really influential from all over the world. Now my wife wants to see you. My children want your autograph. And if you don't mind, I also want you to show to people that you have been in my jail. And I am proud that we had the chance to take care of you for 2 days. And he really took good care. He put me in the hospital ward. And when I left, even I started thinking, should I leave or not? Because all the nurses were crying. I said, "My God, this is a difficult 6 nurses weeping that we will miss you." I said, "I can understand. I can stay here forever. For me, there is no problem. But they won't let me stay." And you should understand, you are only 6. I have left 5,000 people in my commune, 1 million people around the world who must be crying and weeping. And but looking at your faces, it feels I should forget the world and remain here. I had never thought that jail can be such a beautiful place. They said it was never. It is you who changed it. When so many telegrams and so many telephones started coming, we had to clean everything because everybody was concerned about your allergy. We had not cleaned for years. And the whole jail was full of flowers. They had no space to put flowers. They started asking me what to do. Now flowers go on coming and we don't have place. And the whole jail looks like a flower shop. And even the old men who had received me into the jail, the head of the jail, had tears in his eyes when he left me out. He said, "We will remember you. That just in 2 days you change our whole jail. Our inmates have never been so happy. We have 500 inmates. They all know you because they all see you on television every day. And they are happy that they had a chance to live with you 2 days. In the same jail. Now it is no more a jail for them, it has become a pride for them. After 12 days being in 5 jails, when I came out, the last U.S. Marshal who took me out of the jail, he said, "This is strange. You are looking better than you looked when we had taken you to the jail." I said, "That is your fault. What can I do about it? I enjoyed the whole thing." It was such a new experience. And my doctor will be very happy. I have lost 8 pounds. Having nothing to do, I was continuously walking in the corridor. Not getting my food, I was just taking juice or fruit. So it has been tremendously good for my health. And whenever I gain weight again, I will inform you, you can arrest me, there is no need of any warrant. There was no warrant this time. Next time there is no need for any warrant. And 12 days are not enough. Keep me at least for 15 days. He said, "But nobody likes the jail." I said, "Who is bothering about the jail? I like everything. I find something beautiful in it." Sitting in my cell 24 hours, after 30 years of continuously talking to people, this was a great holiday. And the nurses were beautiful, they were taking every care. and the inmates were very beautiful. You think them criminals. Your bureaucrats are more criminal, more inhuman than the inmates. Wherever I reached, they welcomed me behind the bar, showing me the victory sign that Bhagwan, don't be worried, you will be victorious, because they are doing absolutely criminal and wrong things. We have been seeing you on the television. We are all with you. Those 12 days, are a beautiful memory to me. Otherwise, the very name of the jail looks bad. It all depends how you look at things. In the first jail, the jailer became so much interested in me and so much angry against the injustice that is being done to me, that he allowed a world press conference inside the jail. He said, but it may harm you. He said, I don't care. I have got only 2 years to be retired. They can at the most retire me now. I asked, but has there ever been a press conference inside the jail for a prisoner? He said, never, but we will make history. And he invited all the presses. And we had a beautiful press conference inside the jail. The whole America was stopped. The government was stopped. That what is the point of keeping this man in jail? He has gained more sympathy from people, and even from jail he is still available to people on the television, and millions of people are seeing him who would have never thought about him. They regret it, that they have committed a mistake. And I enjoyed that they committed a mistake. They despise the commune, they are fools. They think a commune consists of houses and roads. They don't understand anything higher than matter. My commune consists of people. My commune consists of people's love. They cannot destroy it. They have increased it. The number of sannyasins has increased all over the world. And every day it is increasing, for the simple reason because people have become aware that the governments are afraid of me. That means I have some message which can change the whole society. just be patient and be understanding. Everything always goes on going better and better. That is my experience. Whatever happens, ultimately turns things into better. Now my commune has spread all over the world. The whole credit goes to the fascist government of America. I can understand your problem. To be finished with misery is going to create trouble for you in a miserable society. That's what it scares. You become a stranger, an outsider. But don't be worried. Miserable people can do no harm to you. They are so engrossed in their misery, they cannot do any harm to you. The bishop here in St. Nicholas has been threatening for 3 weeks that he is going to take a protest march in the city against me. But every time he changes the date, the difficulty is that only few old women come to his congregation. Now, taking those few old women for a protest march, he will look just a buffoon. He calls those old ladies the concerned citizens of St. Nicholas. And my people are moving into the town and nobody is against. And the young people, because that bishop started finding that protest seems to be difficult, it started a signature campaign. Naturally, that is easier. If the bishop goes to somebody just to get rid of him, they will sign. But few young men, seeing that the bishop is gathering signatures against me, have started a campaign of collecting signatures for me. And those young men don't know me, I don't know them. But they want me here. the bishop phoned to the owner of this house, a famous film director, that we will burn the house and you will never be forgiven by God. For becoming the host of a very dangerous man. And the director told him, you can burn the house because it is old and I am no more interested in it. But before you bother about me being forgiven or not forgiven by God, you should look just above your head, Kazan Jaki's soul has not forgiven your rotten church. First get forgiveness from Kazan Zakir and then think about other people. But it's strange things that the bishop was asking the director, do you think Bhagwan is a messiah? Perhaps deep down he is also afraid, who knows? And the director said, I do not know, but one thing is certain. That I am always for those who are stoned, and I am against those who stone them. This man has no power. He has not even the guts to come here. He is deep down afraid, perhaps this man may be a messiah. Who knows? Because Jesus was not recognized by the Jews as a messiah and they crucified him. Perhaps the people of St. Nicholas don't know that a messiah has come. And they may be unnecessarily creating protest march and this and that. And who cares about their protest march? And if he wants to burn the house, I will be in the house. And he can come and burn the house. There is only one criminal act on Greece, that of Socrates. Now there will be a second criminal act against Greece. But he cannot come even close here. How he is going to burn the house with the help of those old ladies? Great revolutionaries he has collected. You need not be scared. You remain in your blissfulness. And what you are saying to people is absolutely right, that is the difference. There are 1 million sannyasins. Not a single sannyasin has been yet killed by anybody. And I receive threats every day for 30 years that they are going to kill me. They have even tried 3 times, made attempts to kill me and failed. What can I do about it? Those are idiots. They should come first and ask me how to kill you. Just as I answer everybody else, I will answer them too. And show them the right way. Because I don't want, after they have killed me, that they should be caught and they should be punished. So I can manage everything for them. Three times they have tried and failed. Twice in India and once in America. Even the American government failed. They had planted a bomb in the jail where I was sitting underneath the chair. They should have asked me that at what time you are coming, because we have to fix the time bomb at the exact time. I would have told them. They did not ask me. I reached 1 hour earlier. What the time bomb can do? Poor time bomb waited. I left. And then they had to remove the bomb. Don't be scared. There is nothing to be afraid of. The whole existence is with you.
Can you say something about the fact that there are so few black sannyasins? What is the design of safety in taking sannyas?
The black people have been treated so badly in the past. That they have become afraid of getting involved into anything. Outside the circle of the black, it is just their past is so heavy on them. And moreover, they are poor. Struggling somehow to survive. They cannot be interested in consciousness, in individuality, in higher values of life. Their poverty prevents it, their past prevents it. And I am against all kinds of missionaries all kinds of conversions. So I cannot send my people there. I will wait. Slowly, slowly they will be coming. But it will take time. It is not only the blacks who are missing in my people. Many people from the poor countries are missing. For the simple reason, because they cannot think of anything else than bread. Bread is all that they can think about. They don't have any question about the meaning of life, the meaning of existence. These are far away questions which don't belong to them. I cannot help it. Unless their poverty disappears and their fear of the past disappears, it is not very likely that many black people will become sannyasins. Okay. Okay.